Everyone has a story. I get them to tell it. Welcome to the Aaron Bender Podcast, conversations with media personalities about their personal and professional lives and journeys. Thank you so much for your support, whether you're listening on your favorite platform or watching on DBNA TV at dbnatelevision.tv, nightly 11 p.m. Pacific or 2 a.m. Eastern, or the DBNA TV app on Amazon Fire, Roku, and Apple TV. Before we get to my conversation with Jen Amber, a little about my story. I'm a widowed dad of two girls who just lost their mom, a grieving husband, a man in recovery trying to reconnect with the world with fresh eyes, faith, and perspective, a college journalism professor, a white guy in a world of injustice, a 20-year broadcast media veteran who had his dream job and then lost it. A year and a half ago, God gave me a gift, an opportunity to stop, step back, and breathe so I can learn about love, vulnerability, forgiveness, grace, self-care, patience, and understanding. Jen Amber is the American dream. She's gone from an abusive childhood in Lithuania to owning her own global beauty business and living her best life in Miami.
I will say guess if I was from a big country, but it will take a while to guess it. I am from Lithuania, it's a super small country in Europe. So I was born and raised there. Then I turned 18 and I decided that I want something more. There's too small country, too, I don't know, narrow-minded people. I'm like, I need something like, wow, wabba boom, you know, I need to have something more in life. And I truly like believe that there is something that I can have more fun, you know, make more money, be happier. And guess what? This kind of American dream came true. Here we go. I am here.
Now, you're right. I would have never guessed Lithuania. I would have guessed Russia. I would have guessed Ukraine, maybe Yugoslavia, some Eastern European. I don't know that I would have guessed Lithuania, which is disappointing for me because my stepdad's father is from Lithuania, emigrated in, I think, the 20s or 30s. And my last name, Bender, is what the immigration officers put down, but it was, I think, Benderoficius or some, Lithuanian, yeah. Some longer Lithuanian name that the immigration officers were like, nope, it's Bender. That's what it's going to be.
The names are crazy in Lithuania, like gigantic. When I came here, I had to change because it's like nobody understands, like, what?
Right,
What are you even saying? Yeah, my maiden name was Klimavičiūtė. What is that? Like, everybody's like, I'm like, I had so many difficulties. I had to change. I know it's crazy. But yeah, I'm here.
What do you feel like was... Like growing up, did you always feel like, wow, okay, this place, it's too small. It, like you mentioned, it's narrow-minded. Where do you feel like your big dream characteristic came from?
I always felt, even before watching like movies or you know, something like that, I always felt that like I don't belong there. Like always, even from like days when I was in kindergarten, I always felt like I don't belong here for some reason. It's like something in my gut was like saying that, like, I kind of wanted to free myself. I don't know if you will understand, but something is like some sort of like energy, some sort of like spirit, like always was inside me and like wanted to free me. That sounds like crazy, but this is what happened. And the more I watched like American movies, the more I watched, you know, Backstreet Boys, Spice, like all these kind of, you know, American bands and everything. I was like, oh my God, this is something like, I don't know why I'm like attracted there. Like someone like attachment is like pulling me there. And yeah, I turned 18 and I left my country. I kind of tried everywhere in Europe. I went to Greece, UK, you know, Germany. I lived in Germany for 3 years, but it's just like still something was off. Europe seems too small for me.
But I'm sure that you had many classmates who maybe felt the same, but never acted on it. Where do you feel like that confidence came from? Like you said, you turned 18 and you're a bird let out of the cage.
Where the confidence came from, I think maybe because my childhood, maybe because my parents were abusive, maybe I didn't receive the love that I wanted. So I was trying to find that love in life, in the world. And I don't know why I felt that USA, there is where I'm going to find the love. I think that kind of struggling with life, that I didn't receive love from my parents, you know, as a child, we crave for that love. When I didn't get that, I was craving to find that love, to get that love, the feeling in another ways, you know. So
Now, so then my next question kind of in my mind, like, okay, I'm going to ask her about where the confidence come from. And then the next question will be how supportive were your parents? But I get the impression that A, they probably weren't supportive, and B, you didn't care that they weren't supportive because you're out of there. So,
yes.
how over the years have you dealt with that trauma from your childhood?
Okay, it's a good question. I actually, in the beginning, you know, when I was younger, I was always like, you know, blaming others, you know, my parents' fault. It's my dad left me when I was two. My mom was beating me. She was like my dad and my mom in one person. And I at that moment, I didn't understand, you know, why they did what they did. Only after coming here and actually following Tony Robbins, you know, I went to many of his events. I did a lot of like self-development work and really healing childhood traumas. I understood and I realized that actually they did what they could do at that moment. They did that because somebody else did that to them as well. It's like it's a chain of generational trauma. You know, my mom was beaten by her parents. Her parents were beaten by their parents, and that's like came that she did what she thought she was supposed to do. You know, and I am the one that breaking that kind of generational trauma. You know, I'm like, that's it, is enough. I have too much pain in my life that I know there is something more. And when I started like doing research about other people, that there are people that they totally don't have parents, or they grew up in the, they were molested and raped and everything, and they have a life, like really good life right now. And I was thinking, if they did that, this mean I can do that too. Forgiveness, I think forgiveness to myself, to my parents, and to everyone in my life that hurt me, actually free me. I think that was the freedom that I was looking for in life, just to free myself.
Yeah, it's fascinating when you practice forgiveness, not just for others who have hurt you, but for yourself. It's, I mean, the liberation. I mean, you could talk about getting out of Lithuania and finding yourself, and you don't even need to leave the room you're in.
Yeah.
If you practice forgiveness over and over and over again, because it's not a one-time thing. It's like, okay, I've practiced forgiveness on Tuesday, but then Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, I'm okay. No,
Yeah.
it's a daily thing.
It's a daily thing. It's like you brush your teeth, you shower every day, you forgive every day too. It's absolutely.
So, wow. I'm kind of overwhelmed just thinking about that right now. And like just this morning, something happened in my life where I'm really upset with myself. Like I have a trip planned for next week. I don't have a passport. It expired, and so I put in an expedited application. And I just learned this morning, because we've only got like 2 or 3 days for the passport to arrive for it to actually get here before my trip. I'm looking at the website, no chance, no chance. And I just learned that probably 20 or 30 minutes before we started talking this morning. And I'm still just beating myself up for that. And it's fascinating because this conversation is like, dude, just forgive yourself. It's done. It's out of your hands. It's out of your control.
Yeah, you can't control what you can control. You shouldn't be worried, you know, that's it.
How did you end up gravitating to motivational speakers like Tony Robbins? Because a lot of people who do go through childhood trauma, they lock it in. They don't try to break into that space because they're like, okay, there's some really bad stuff in there. I don't want to go in there. But yet, just like getting out of Lithuania, you wanted to explore that.
Yeah. I think people don't want to improve something because they have those limiting beliefs. and everybody tell us that you are who you are and you can't change, you can't change anything in your life. And you are, so many people suffer like that because they don't, first, they don't want to change. Second thing, that it's not possible to change. And third thing, people are afraid to leave their comfort zone. So I'm rather going to stay in that comfort zone, you know, and a little bit they have pain then go through, you know, the self-development. It's a hard process where you can actually go into that trauma, where you can basically experience the trauma, you force yourself to experience, and then you learn how to deal with that. It's like, it's a little bit painful process to actually heal that. And it's not like you will heal in one time. That's like ongoing thing. Like always, I'm doing that all the time. Those conversations sometimes with my mom, we are good right now today, but it's sometimes we have those conversations that I don't want to have. She doesn't want to have, but we must to have, you know, it's painful. People, everyone don't want to have a pain. Nobody wants to have a pain. But behind the pain is freedom, is beautiful feeling. Like all my life, I couldn't hug my mom. I was afraid of her. She will come to me like she will want to hug. Lately, you know, she was here in Miami two years ago. And she came to me like really fast, wanted to hug. And I jumped because I thought like from childhood, the trauma that she's going to slap me or something.
Yeah.
And you have to learn, you know, that people don't want bad for you. No one intentionally want to do something bad for you. They do something bad for you because they are hurt. They are in pain. And when I realized nobody is going and shooting in America, this is very popular, right? Because they want to kill kids in school, because that person is so hurt inside. He just needs so much love. And people are looking, I'm looking right now at people. They are not bad people. They just lack love. So when I realized that, I'm like, I'm loving my mom so much. I think I am in my life where I am. I have $1 million company. I live in Miami in my dream city in the best place in the world. I have everything what I need. I drive Tesla. I have surrounded myself by friends. I have amazing employees. I'm doing everything for them. My clients are the happiest. I'm writing book right now. I'm releasing the course. I'm doing podcasts with you. I have everything in my life what I want. And I think my mom is the person actually that I have to be grateful the most for what I have right now in my life.
I want to see that checklist where my name is on it. Like, okay, do podcast with Erin Bender. Oh, life is great. I need to see that list. I need proof. Tell me about that first conversation that you had with her after you started unpacking that suitcase of trauma.
I actually told her, and it's so funny, when I actually started doing those, you know, healing work and self-development, self-love work, healing childhood traumas, when I started talking to her in a loving way, when I stopped blaming her, when I stopped accusing her, you know, for everything what happened in my life, when I told her, like, I keep repeating her this all the time, because she also has this, you know, pattern that's always thinking that she's a bad mom, because this is what I used to tell her. I used to tell her, I hate you. You know, you're the worst mom I have ever had. And right now it's so opposite. I say, you're the best. I am what I have because of you. I say, thank you. I know you were strict and everything, but thank you, because right now I'm the person because you were the way you were. Actually, when I changed, I realized she changed. So I started thanking her. I started saying, you know, how grateful I am that I have her. I started helping her pay rent and send clothes, you know, and I took her here in Miami. I say, just come here with ID. You don't need anything else. I will take care of you. She was here for 2 weeks like a queen. I bought her. I shopped like she came back. She lives in Germany. She came back. She went back to Germany with like two gigantic suitcases of clothes. She was crying, and I took her to Key West, and I show her botanical gardens, everything what she loved. And like, I basically roll her red carpet. I treated like a queen. And then she changed so much. She cried. She hugged me. She's like, oh my God, you're the best child I have ever had. I had also a sister. I mean, she's like, you're the best.
Of course. Right. Right. Yeah.
You got yeah. That. So I started treating like a queen. And she started treating me like a queen, you know, and I always say I'm so grateful and thankful, you know, and she's like, when I say this, she always cries.
Do you feel like that has, I mean, it sounds like, I don't want to put words in your mouth. It sounds like that has helped her unpack her own trauma and confront and deal with and accept it.
Yes. Yes, exactly. I know.
It's fascinating. Again, you show somebody love and little by little, it breaks down that wall that we all build up when we, when we go through things as kids.
Yeah. We all have these walls. We just want to protect ourselves. These walls are just for a reason, just protect ourselves, you know, not hurt others. But when these walls are down, when you actually can have a connection with your loved one, with your blood, you know, and it's just, it's truly, it's, if it's not her, I wouldn't be where I am right now in life. And
yeah, I mean, yeah. If you were surrounded by love in that home in Lithuania, why would you leave?
Yeah.
Why would you leave? I mean, you've been escaping. You think about, you know, your childhood memories from kindergarten. You were escaping already. Yeah. And you know, dreaming of a better life, a better situation, a better family, let's say. And if, I mean, there's no company, there's no Miami, there's no anything like that.
No. And, you know, in Lithuania, I was born in a very, very small town. It's like only 5,000 people where they know one another. And all those classmates that are still there, they're just like, living in love with the parents, with the, you know, family, but they are not like, I am achiever. I'm always want to achieve something more in life. It's boring for me to live there where nothing is happening, no action. Like I have all those big dreams, you know, write a book, release the course. It's happening already. The course is going to be released next month. The book is going to be like in 3-4 months. And I always like everybody, all my friends in that city, they think I'm like a little bit not normal. And I think I am normal and they're not normal. They're normal. They just happy with what I have, with what they have. And that's okay. You know, many people happy working in the Whole Foods, you know, being cashiers, living paycheck to paycheck. They are happy. I'm not happy. I want more. I want more to help people. I want to contribute. I want to, you know, donate money. I want to help the church and the child trafficking. My dream is to have my own organization and foundation where I'm going to be supporting those kids that they are getting, you know, they have abusive parents, like something. I have this in mind, like a crazy things that I want to help kids. I want to help kids to avoid this kind of abusive, you know, relationships. Maybe educate kids. Maybe, I don't know, somehow I want to support those kids because I have passion for these kind of kids.
I have a suggestion for you right there in Miami. A former podcast guest, one of my oldest friends, Somi Ali, runs an organization called No More Tears. They have, over the course of 15 years, rescued 30,000 men, women, and children from human trafficking and domestic violence. Yeah, so after this, I will send you their contact info. They're right there in Miami. They go all over Miami-Dade and Broward, Palm Beach. They go, I think, farther north into Miami, and they always need all the help they can get. So I'll put you in contact with it. Okay. I think it would be a great fit. I think it would be an absolutely great fit because it's one thing, you know, you're based in Miami, but I've got a friend who runs an organization like that in Sacramento or Seattle or something like that. It's while helpful. It's not the same as being able to help somebody in your backyard. Like Somi could call you up and say, oh, by the way, would you like to come with us? We're about to go rescue a woman and her son or daughter.
Oh my God. I got the goosebumps. This is so amazing. It's just like
That's her life. That's her life. And nobody at that organization takes any salary. She just lives off of the income from some rental properties that she owns. And when we're done, I will perfect. Make sure that you have that information. I'll text you her information and it's great. So take me then, what was the decision? You talked about bouncing around Europe after leaving Lithuania. What was the decision then to move to the United States? And what was that first day or week like? And what did it go straight to Miami or did you go somewhere else first?
Okay, so I decided I was living in Germany and I was living really, you know, comfortable. And then I decided that I want to study English language because I didn't speak English. In the high school, I studied German, Russian, you know, Lithuanian, not English. And then I'm like, I want to learn English. And to me, the most beautiful accent was American accent, not British, not Australian, you know, not South Africa. I was like, if I want to speak English, I want to have like English, you know, accent. Of course, I don't have that. Maybe one day we'll have. But I have a classmates that live in UK and they actually have that UK accent. You know, I'm like, I just don't like that.
I've got a friend who's raising two sons. She's from Florida, but raising two sons in London right now, and they both have the most adorable British accents. It's great.
Yeah, I know. It's different, but it's not my favorite.
Yeah.
So then I came to study English here. I found a school in, you know, English school where I learn English. And imagine I came here 8 years ago now. I think I learned English like in 3 years, you know, and I started learning. I started going to Paris. I started meeting people. I realized that people have much more financial freedom than we do have in Europe. It's much easier to get to do what you love and actually to, you know, be financially free. In Europe, I still have some friends that they, you know, they are financially free, but they don't love what they do or something like that. I think it's much more easier here. To achieve financial freedom. So first week was like, I just was excited. It was everything so different here than in Europe. I realized the first thing when I came here, people smile more when they say, "Hey, how are you?" I'm like, "What? Why are they asking me how I am?" Nobody in Europe asks, "Hey, how are you?" If you ask in Lithuania, a random person in the street, "Hey, how are you?" They're gonna think like you're really insane, like some mental issue with you going on. And I was like, this is so amazing. People asking, "Hi, how are you?" They're smiling, they're actually dancing, they're more like free, more open. They communicate like I can have a conversation with total stranger in the street discussing about, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
We don't have that in Lithuania.
What was the idea then? You talk about wanting more and wanting more for yourself and more for your life. What was the idea always to either start a business or to run something? Was that always kind of the idea?
Yeah, I always had the idea. I was doing many kind of jobs and always been basically fired like all the time right away. I just didn't love what I do. And I'm this kind of person, like I'm straightforward. If I don't like something, I always tell, you know, I just don't like it. I'm not going to work there. I'm just not going to spend my time, you know, and effort to doing something that I don't like it. If I hate something. So,
what were some of those jobs, by the way?
I was working in an insurance company.
Okay.
They fired me like after 2 months. The longest where I worked, it was Zara, you know, Zara, that's
yes.
International.
Oh yeah. The clothing stores, clothing, right?
Yeah. So I probably worked there the longest, maybe 5 or 6 months. And then they wanted to promote me to managers. I say, no, I'm going, I'm leaving. I can't. I always felt in my heart that I want to have my own company. And I was in aesthetics. Then I graduated at aesthetic school in Lithuania. And I did, you know, facials for all the friends and stuff like this. But I'm like, I want to have either my own spa, like some big clinic or something like that, or my own products and everything. And I learned here about all this kind of e-commerce. Like I never knew what the heck is e-commerce. You know, when I came here, I really realized this thing is like Shopify exists and I actually can create a product. I can, you know, help women with the micro needling. Right now I'm helping. The most beautiful thing that I have when women send me like reviews and comments and especially like video testimonials, like, "Jen, I feel so good. My skin is much nicer." We do have those microneedling tools, dermarollers and everything that really works for aging, for wrinkles, for fine lines, acne scars. And women love it.
Why are you looking at my face and just telling acne scars, wrinkles, fine lines?
You look good.
It's HD. It's the camera. It's the camera. Yeah. I've got softening tools and everything like that. Trust me. If I turn off this camera, you need a derma roller, buddy. That's what you need.
Okay. I need the secrets from you. What are you using? What kind of equipment over there?
But nothing. I'm using no equipment.
The most beautiful feeling right now I have when I make someone else life easier and more confident. My goal is to make women confident. You know, this is the course that I'm releasing right now is called Confidence Skin. That people, when they are confident, I had one client, she told me, she said, Jen, my skin is nice right now. I don't need to wear makeup when I'm in my house with my husband. I am feeling so much better. I am happier. My husband started asking, why are you so happy? And I told him, I'm using Jen Amber Dermarollers.
Nice.
Someone saying that their relationship got better with their husband just because of my products, it makes me feel so good. Like my goal is to help women, you know. Women have so much insecurities. It's like, wow, it's like, oh, I'm helping a lot of women. That's my goal.
What was the decision to go into YouTube and try to increase your business and increase exposure for the business, but that's also putting you front and center. It's not just, you know, an infomercial where you hold up your product and it's like, no, this is personal to you.
Yeah. Yeah. YouTube, I started doing just by accident because I was bored and like always the gym cannot just sit and do nothing. Like I have to do something because when I came to the States, I was with student visa. Officially, I couldn't work. But when I was student, I was able to get this tax number. I think it's called I number. Mm-hmm. And with that number, you actually can do like self-employment. So YouTube actually allows you to do that. And I was like, so there is nothing else. I can't go in a restaurant. I can't clean the street, you know, or something. Like I can do something with a camera in the front of me, like at the home. And this is what I started doing because I kind of was able only to do that. And I started just filming videos. I'm like, I'm not good with the camera. I'm not good with the people. I'm really crazy to say this, but I'm introvert. I'm afraid to talk to people.
Really?
So I'm not afraid to talk to camera, to the computer, to the phone, you know, like something that you can't see person's face. I'm okay with that. I don't mind, you know, hey guys, this is this, la, 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 bye, bye, bye. It's easy for me. When I meet a person in the street, like I will be like freak out. I don't know. I'm always quiet. I don't have anything to say. So YouTube was this platform where I kind of can express and feel like I'm myself, like sort of like talking to someone, but literally talking just with the camera in my room.
What's nice, they don't talk back.
I know.
The camera doesn't talk back.
I know.
Now you also we have something in common in that I'm vegan. I think you're vegetarian. Or
I was vegetarian, but not anymore.
Not anymore. Okay.
Sorry.
Yeah. Then this interview is over. Goodbye. No. What went into this? Why'd you go back?
For the health reasons. It's just vegetables and fruits and nuts alone. It just made me sick. And I truly think that what fits one doesn't fit everyone. I'm doing much better. I gone to where I started having like autoimmune disorders, diabetes, really bad, really, really got sick. And then I'm like, when I started eating meat, you know, animal products, I started coming back and everything is so good right now. My health is better than ever been before.
Yeah. I'm the opposite in that. And it probably was also the quality of the animal products I was eating. Very, very poor. And my wife, late wife in 2017, diagnosed with breast cancer. So we just basically said, what can we control about this situation? And it was what we put in our bodies. And yes. So we went vegan then. And I've been vegan ever since. I have strayed here a bit, you know, here and there. I go to parties and I forget to bring something for me to eat. So I'm like, all right, fine. I'll have something here, you know, but yeah. In the first 3 weeks I was vegan, I lost 20 pounds. Cause it again, like you said, what's good for one is not for the other. And yes. I found what worked for me. You know, yeah. I felt so much better after that.
And I know not everybody can eat meat. And to be honest, I don't eat meat every day. I haven't eaten meat probably right now in 4 days. And I feel great. And so I learned to listen to my body. If meat is also every day, all the time, is not good because it causes inflammation in your body. You don't digest meat so fast like you digest vegetables and fruits. So sometimes I go 1 week with no meat,
right.
No problem. Easy. You know, I was there. I was 2 years vegetarian. It's easy for me. Some people cannot do this. But when I feel that I have inflammation, when I started having like a brain fog or some aches in the body, like my body's like sending me signals, slow down, no dairy, no meat product, right. Animal product, just really vegetables and fruits, you know, kombucha or something like really light. Like yesterday all day, I ate basically mangoes and just nothing. Really, like I feel also my skin is the skin is a reflection of what's happening inside. The skin is not only your face, it's actually we have all kind of different parts of the face is reflecting your organs. So I started breaking out here lately, and I'm like, over here, it's mean like digestion issues, you know, over here that we have hormonal digestion issues, something with the lower pelvic. And I'm like, okay, if I'm not digesting well, I have to, you know, put the meat aside, animal products aside, be on the veggies and fruits, and it's starting to clear right away.
What are the other areas? So if this is the lower pelvis and digestive issues, what would be like up here? And if
so, I don't remember right now exactly, but here I think the lungs and all the kind of, you know, when you're breathing, if something, if you're living maybe in some dirty, polluted environment, so you're going to have maybe breakouts over here. I believe here goes like also like a brain, heart. I think heart is over here. When you have like a low blood pressure or high blood pressure, most likely people have those lines here or breakout or something uneven. I don't remember exactly right now, but basically your face is a map of your entire body. It's amazing. So I'm always kind of, okay, what's going on? If I don't remember, like I'm checking what this mean, like you can Google what means, like if you have acne on your nose and stuff like this. Nose, I think, is like a spine. So yeah, it's good to know, good to learn how to listen to your body. I'm okay. 1 week, no meat. I'm fine. I'm okay. I have energy more than anybody else that eats burgers every day.
Starting your business, what was the most difficult thing you encountered early on that maybe you didn't expect?
Oh, everything. I didn't know anything. Everything. I knew nothing about business, nothing, 0%. I barely graduated high school because I suck. My math teacher didn't let me to have exam because she's like, you're going to have like, you're not going to pass. It's just, I'm going to have a lot of shame because of you. And I don't want you to go there. I'm just going to excuse you for some reason. You know, I don't know what she excused me, maybe mental problems or something like that. But she didn't let me to have a math exam. And I barely graduated high school. I suck at this. And I was always having that belief that if I'm suck at numbers, if I don't know anything, you know, if I didn't learn good, I didn't have good grades in high school, how I can have a business? Like how I can do this? That's not possible. So I think the hardest thing was actually to break that belief, you know, that I can't do that. That's a pattern that comes, you know, math teachers say, my mom says, she say I'm stupid. My dad left me. Nobody ever had money in my family. Everybody like poor in my family. My mom, she's still a cleaning lady. Nobody ever, like, I didn't have any friends, no family members, no any environment that will tell some one person, Jin, you can do this. So to break that, you know, pattern, that belief, it was the hardest thing probably.
Wow. Yeah. Wow. And how did you, how did you break that?
I don't know.
Still trying to figure it out.
I just, I'm always like this. I will do whatever it takes. I will do whatever it takes. If I don't know something, I will figure out how to do it. If it's not possible, it's possible. Just people don't know how to do this. Everything is possible. If we can send a man to the moon, we can do anything.
How can people sign up for your course or download your course? When is it available?
It's going to be available in a month. I believe the targeted date is July 20th.
Okay.
We're going to have a website. We're going to have on social media, everywhere on my YouTube channel. I'm going to announce everywhere. I haven't announced yet. I told all my followers that, it's, you know, in the process is going to be made and eventually. So YouTube is Jin Amber, Instagram, Jin Amber Beauty. website, genumber.com. We're going to have everywhere. It's going to be big thing, because I'm putting all the information about beliefs, about the habits, about the skincare, nutrition, lifestyle, exercising. I'm going through all the books that I read from David Sinclair. He's anti-aging, a scientist, what I learned from him, what kind of, you know, habits, daily habits, age us, you know, faster and stuff like this. Like, for example, people who smoke, they live usually 10 years less than average person. It's just, I'm talking a lot about, you know, science and everything and spirituality, beliefs. It's just like I put everything in one place, how person can actually feel beautiful and feel confident.
Thank you, Jen. Thank you so much for your time. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much for your time.
You can watch this episode on YouTube and DBNA TV. Follow the Aaron Bender podcast on your favorite platforms and link to it at aaronbender.com. That's also where you can find all my social media. If you have guest ideas or comments, email me, aaronbendermedia@gmail.com. Be well, and thanks for listening.